We're on the bottom of Daf Chav Dalet Amud Beis, the Mishnah. In the first Mishnah in the Perek, we learned about those Metzios that you can keep for yourself. And in this Mishnah, we're going to learn about Metzios that don't belong to the finder, but rather have to be returned. The Mitzvah of Hashava, the Chiyuv Hachroza, and it's a Dover Sheyesh Bo Siman. V'elu Chayov Lahachos. And the following are cases of items that were found that have to be returned. Matzah peros bekli. He found fruits inside a kli. Oh, kli kamoshu, or a kli itself. So in the case of a kli, we're going to say the principle is stam kli yesh po simon. Most kelim back in the day, we're not talking about mass producing, had a distinguishing mark. And peros that were found in the kli belong to that kli. And therefore, if the owner will give a simon on the kli, then we return to him the peros as well. The next case is mos bekis. And again, we're going to assume that the kis, this kind of a pouch for money, has a simon to it. And the mos, which normally did not have a simon, as we'll discuss later on, are returned to the same person who can establish his ownership on the kiss. When it says kiss or kiss kemoshahu, it's referring to the same pocketbook or purse, but it doesn't have anything in it. The bailim will come along and give a simon on the kiss. Then the Mishnah says tzibure peros and tzibure mos. Now, in the case of tzibure peros, there's a whole gathering, a group of unit of fruits, and here we're going to have to discuss in the sugya whether the simon is makom, where did you find these fruits, or minyan, or the number of fruits that you found. And in the case of mos, we're talking about mos not inside a kiss, but coins that were gathered together in various possible setups, you know, arrangements. And it could be that, once again, the minyan is the simon. You know, you could tell me how many coins you found in this group of coins. And the Ritva here points out that you have to have a minimum of three. You know, it's to say that you found two coins would not serve as a minyan, as a simon. And we're going to have to also assume that the way that he found these mos, the way they were arranged in tzibure mos, is bederech hinuach, means that you have reason to believe. It's quite obvious from the way it was laid out. It just didn't fall out of his pocket, but it was placed there deliberately. If it was derech nefila, then he would not know. We assume that he, the owner, would not know the minyan, the number of matbeos, because, you know, the matbeos may have fallen out over the course of time, and they didn't all fall together, and therefore, where did they fall? And how many fell in one spot? In tzibure peros, it's possible that it's derech nefila, that even if the fruits are spread out, but that's because fruits are more heavy, physically heavy, they weigh more, and therefore he could probably know exactly how many fruits fell, and perhaps he would know even where the fruits fell. Now, again, when it comes to derech hinuach, and in the case of tzibure mos, we're talking about derech hinuach, the question is, why not just leave the coins where they are, and the owner will no doubt return to take them? After all, he knows where he left them. He deliberately placed them there. And the answer is, as we've discussed in the past, and the Ritva reiterates it and emphasizes it here in our Mishnah, that we're talking about a makom she'eno mishtamer. And therefore, in a case of hanocha, of derech hinuach, you're obligated to take it away from there, because otherwise somebody's going to take it for himself and pocket it. You saw it, you have an obligation to return it, you have to do achrosa. The baila may have forgotten where they placed it, or bechlal, where they forgot that they placed it there, and they're not going to come back and take it, it's going to be gone, you have to be machriz it, and the baila will come and offer a simon, and we're assuming that that simon will be either makom or minya. And now we turn to the Hemshech HaMishnah here on the top of Chaf Hei Amud Aleph. The Mishnah now explains a little bit more about Sibure Mos. We had Sibure Mos here on Chav Dalet Amud Beis in the Mishnah. And now the Mishnah stipulates that it's Shlosha Matbeos. It's got to be a minimum of three Matbeos, and certainly if it's more than three. And the Mishnah says, Ze al gabi ze. They have to be arranged one on top of the other. And we're going to see a whole sugi about this, exactly how these coins are arranged, but it's got to be in such a way that we're sure it didn't just fall that way, but it was deliberately placed in that way. And that would set it up as derech inuach, and therefore the bialim have a simon, and again, if it's a makum sheni mishtamer, the motzi, the first person who finds is chayv an hashav, chayv an achrozah. Then we have another similar case here in the Mishnah called krichos. Krichos are bundles, small bundles. And you take the top part of each shibolet, of each kernel of wheat, or whatever grain it might be, and you tie them together. And in that case, when you tie these krichos together with a kesher, then we're going to assume that there is a siman. We don't know exactly what the siman is right now, but let's assume that in the case of krichos, the siman would be the kshira, the tzuras hakshira, the way it was taught. And the Mishnah stipulates that when you chayv an ashav on krichos, that's only birshus hayochit, where there are very few people who will go by. Now, if I assume, which we had a machlokas early in the parak, that siman ha'asu lidores lo avi siman, that if the siman is going to be marred by the people who pounce upon it as they walk by, and that's true for a public area, then we understand full well why the Mishnah stipulates that when you chayv an hashav on krichos, it's only bershus hayochid. That's a place where ein harabim mitzuyim sham. And therefore we don't have to be afraid in a private area of drisa that the people will pounce and walk and stomp upon this bundle of wheat and destroy its siman. And therefore, in Rishus HaRabim, this siman is the opposite of Osu Lidoris, but rather it's a siman HaMishtamer. All that is fine and dandy if I'm of the opinion that siman ha'osu lidoris lavi siman, and therefore the Mishnah stipulates and puts the chiyuv hashav in the condition, place it in the condition that he found the krichos in Rishus HaYochid. If, on the other hand, I'm of the opinion that siman osli dores havi siman, then we might ask the question here, what's the difference between Rishus HaRabim and Rishus HaYochid? He should be chayv lahachriz even in Rishus HaRabim. You'll tell me that the Rabim pounce upon it, they're going to destroy the siman. But nevertheless, this is the Ma'adi Yomru who says, Siman, Ha'asuli Dores, Havi Siman. And the answer is, I don't think we have another choice, that we're talking about a Derech Hinuach situation, and therefore the possibility of a Siman would be Makom. In other words, the Krichos themselves, in and of themselves, have no Siman, and in the absence of a Siman, again, if they had a siman, then perhaps it would be a siman osili doris, but if you hold siman osili doris, havi siman, so the fact that it has a siman is really enough to engender a chiyuv hashav even in Rishus HaRabim, because siman osili doris, havi siman, but you can have to say that we're talking about a davar shein bo siman. The only siman that we could talk about then, and that's where in Rishus HaYochid Yechayv an Hashavah, is makom. But again, you have to stipulate that we're talking about derech hinuach. So you found the krichos derech hinuach. Therefore, the bialim know exactly where they lost it. Why in Rishus HaRabim is makom not going to be relevant? Because, as we said, the mishtafei, it's mizgalgil v'ragli odom behema. In other words, the bialim realize that people who walk through Rishus HaRabim will move the object from place to place, and therefore they have no clue as to where the motzi, where the finder actually, in what location he found these krichos. Now the Mishnah goes on to kikros shel balabayis, as opposed to nachtum, where the professional baker who markets his products and has a uniform, there's a uniform kind of tzuras hapas. Here, in the case of a balabayis, he has his own way of baking, and there's definitely an identifying siman that has his name, so to speak, written on the kikra, on the bread, and therefore yechayven hashava. And then we have the case of a gizei tsemer, but here we're talking about halakuchim mibeis ha'uman. So we spoke about stretches or strips of wool, and usually there's a standard kind of strip, but here it's taken, it's purchased from the Beis HaUman. And what the Uman does is when he shears the wool, and then he makes some sort of a giza out of it, a bundle of sheared wool, he does it in a way that's very unique, that's very special, it's got a shinui to it, and that's the way the Uman does it, the professional, and no one can duplicate it exactly in his way. There's a siman, and then we have kadi yayin v'kadi shemen there too. We're talking about these barrels or jars that are made in such a way, they're closed in a certain way, and there is a siman here. In the Rashi here, not actually here, but back in the Mishnah, and if you take a look at Tosfos Dira Maskil Verashum, which is back in the Mishnah, and in the Sugya on Chof Gimel Amid Beis, you get the impression that these kadim were, although they were more or less this, they were more or less the same, made in the same size, and they were full with the same measurement of wine or oil. And in this case, what would be the siman? Again, if we're talking about the Raksa Denara case, where you found these barrels in a place where they would unload them from the ships, then Makom would not be a siman. But he's chayv to be machris because of the roshem. And the roshem is the siman. The seal itself is the distinguishing mark. And here in the Hebrew he says, yesh noagim shalolach somich michsei akadimitit. It was quite customary and popular to just cover these jugs with a lid, a covering, but without actually cementing the lid down to the jug itself. Nosim esakad pasuach b'chdei limkar miyad. And often they wouldn't even put on a lid because they wanted to sell, the manufacturers wanted to sell their oil or their wine immediately, so they would leave it open so that people could see what's inside, taste what's inside. Here the shinui is that he actually locked up, he attached the lid, the covering, with a chosem, with a certain seal that was made of concrete, and that makes it unusual, and that gives it a status of a dover sheish bo siman. And in all these, the Mishnah summarizes, harei elu chayev lahachris. There's no yeish bailim, and therefore the finder has to announce that he found that particular object. Now, let's go back to the beginning of the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to analyze this case of peros bekli, mos bekis, that he's chayev lahachris, taimo de motza peros betoch bekli. The reason why it's a dover sheish bo siman is because he found the fruits inside the kli, v'chein mos bekis, and so too mos that were inside a purse. In all these cases, we assume that the fruit belongs to the owner of the utensil, and if there's a siman on the utensil, is mevele we give him back the fruit. So the Gemara's medayik now, it would seem from the Mishnah that if he found a kli ulafanav peros, or kis lafanav mos, in other words, the Mishnah stipulates that the fruit is inside the utensil, or the coins are inside the purse, but what if it was outside, immediately contiguous to the kli, but the kli fell and all the fruits came out, harelu shalo. Then, even though the Bailim come and identify the kis or the kli as theirs with a siman, they will not be awarded neither the fruits nor the coins. That belongs to the owner. it means that since there's no siman on the fruits themselves or on the coins themselves, that means that it's Harel Shalom. That's the implication of our Mishnah. And Tnino Laha, we also have a Braisa to support that conclusion. The Tana Rabbana, we learned in a Braisa, Matzah Kli Ulefan of Peros, Kis Ulefan of Mos, Hare Elu Shalom. Which means that he's allowed, the finder's allowed to keep the fruits for himself, he's allowed to keep the Mos for himself. Oh. But then the Braisa continues and says, Miktsasan. Bekliya miktsasa al gabi karka, miktsasa mitkis, miktsasa al gabi karka, chayiv lahachris. If it's clear that the fruits came from this kli, some of the fruits spilled out onto the ground, some stayed within the kli, and the same in the case of Mos, then there's a chayiv achrosa even on the fruits and even on the coins. In other words, there's a hochacha here that these fruits and these coins came, even though those that are on the ground, they came out of, they fell out of the kli, and therefore they belong to the owner of the kli. So all this is fine. We have a Mishnah and a Braisa, but that's on one side of the scorecard. We're a minu, but we have a Braisa on the other side of the scorecard that seems to contradict the Mishnah and the Braisa. Why? Matzah dover she'ein bo siman v'tzad dover she'esh bo siman. If he finds two objects contiguous, one to the other, one, for example, Mos that has no siman, and he finds a kiss right next door that has a siman. Is it says chayav lahachris? He has to notify the public that he found both the kli and the Mos. But then it says bo bal siman. If the owner of the purse comes along and he gives simanim on the purse on the kiss. Vinotal es shalo, he takes the purse for himself based on the simon. Is zocha halo, but the finder takes for himself bidavashe embo simon, the coins that have no simon on it. And this is a pretty explicit contradiction to what we saw earlier in the Mishnah. Not explicitly, but in the Braisa, explicitly the first Braisa, who calls it Braisa number one, that there is an assumption in both the Mishnah by Diuk and the first Braisa, we'll call it Braisa number one, explicitly, that the Motzi, the finder, although he has to return the kiss or the kli, doesn't have to return the Mos or the Peros. Here in the last Braisa, so let's go back and read it again a little bit more carefully. The Braisa says, Bo bal simon v'notal es shalo. So what do those words mean? It doesn't mean yitol es shalo, that we award him and return to him the kiss. That would be wonderful. But rather, notal es shalo. Notal es shalo means he claims the kiss and he admits that the Mos are not his. And therefore, the finder can be zoche in the Dovah She'ein Bo Siman. Gemara postulates a stira here, a contradiction between the Mishnah and our first price and the second price, because the Gemara is of the opinion that according to the Mishnah and the Braisa, we do, just one second, according to the Mishnah and the Braisa, since there are two objects that are sitting there, zebitzadzeh, then we should assume a relationship between the two. Let's try to explain what the Gemara sees as problematic in this Braisa number two. Braisa number two starts by saying, Motzah dover she'ein bo siman v'tzad dover she'esh bo siman chayav lahachris. Which means that there is a relationship between the Mos outside the kli and the Mos inside the kli. Logically, why would the Braisa postulate such a relationship? In fact, in the Sefer, he gives a siman on the kiss, and he doesn't win for himself the Mos. The difference is, and this you'll see in Tosfos Dibra Maschil Ha Bekuvya, which is the top Tosfos on Daf Chaf Hei Amud Aleph, and he quotes Rabbeinu Chananel, is that the original statement, the Reisha, the Braisa, that Chayv LaHachriz refers to the Mos, that's a case where there are some Mos inside the Kli and some Mos outside the Kli. That sets up a Chiyuv HaKroza even on the Mos outside the Kli. Again, if the, in the Sefer, if the the Bailim come and say, well, you know, I'm just taking the Kli, that's fine. That's Odas Bal Din at this point. But nevertheless, there is a relationship between that which is outside the Kli and that which is left inside the Kli. Whereas if you go back to Braisa number one assumes that there's a relationship between the pairs outside the Kli and the pairs inside the Kli. And the Bailim, if they give a semen on the Kli, can retrieve for themselves, they're awarded not only the pairs inside the Kli, but outside the Kli, which fits very beautifully with the ratio of Bryce number two. But in the Sefer Bryce number two, where it says that Bo Bala Simon Venotal Es Shalo, Zachal Lobatova Shane Bo Simon, means that even if the owner claims that the fruits that are outside the Kli are his, that much he's not going to get. He will not be awarded the peiros outside the Kli. What does it mean that he was zochin the peiros that are inside the Kli, which is called the Dover Shem Bas Simon? That's because those peiros are literally inside the Kli. So the way Tosus postulates this stira is between the Braisa number one and Braisa number two is the case of Mixas peros bekli u mixas on bechutz ala karka betzada kli. And the only question that we have here on Tosfos is, why isn't there a stira mineu bei between the reish of the brisa and the seif of the brisa within brisa number two? In any event, Rashi seems to learn that the question of the Gemara is from the reisha. The Reisha says, Motza Kli Ulefon of Peros, Kis Ulefon of Mos, Harein Shalo. That's in the first Braisa. And in the second Braisa, it says, Motza Dover Shein Bo Simon, Betzad Dover Sheesh Bo Simon, Chayv LaHachriz, means Chayv LaHachriz even on the fruits that are outside the Kli. And that's the Gemara Stira here between Braisa number one and the Reisha Braisa number two, whereas according to Tosfos in the name of Rabbeinu Chananel, the Stira is between Braisa number one and the Seifa of Braisa number two, because the Seifa of the Braisa number two assumes that even though Miktsos and Betocha Kli, and that is awarded to the Bailim, but nevertheless the Miktsos that are outside the Kli are not awarded to the Bailim, and that's against Braisa number one. So the interpretation of Tosus regarding the Sefer of the Braisa is that the Bailim are claiming for themselves not just the pairs that are inside the Kli, but even the pairs outside the Kli, and they lose their claim. In that context, they're not victorious. Whereas Rashi understands that in the Sefer of Braisa number two, the Bailim are admitting to the fact that the Peros outside the Kli are not theirs. And this itself leads to a very interesting problem, or perhaps a chidush of the Braisa, according to Rashi. After all, what is the Braisa being mechadish according to Rashi if in the Sefer the Bailim admit that the fruits outside the Kli are not theirs? And the Havamina was that since there is a relationship between the Peros and the Kli, and we postulate that relationship, therefore, and when I say Paris and the Kli, I also mean Mos and the Kiss, of course. The Havamina is that in this case where there's such a close relationship between that which is outside the Kli and the Kli itself, if this person comes along and he says, well, I don't have any claim whatsoever on those fruits, and we know and we postulate by the proximity of the fruits to the Kli that there is a relationship between the two, then his claim on this Kli might be completely nulled and void. And voided. Again, let me emphasize, despite the fact that he gave a semen on the Kli, we're going to assume that the Kli that we found is the Kli that had peros in it, the peros fell out, And if he, the Bilam, is claiming, well, that's my Kli, but that's not my Peros, then it must be that this can't be his Kli, meaning the Kli that was lost and found was the Kli that had Peros in it. And therefore this Brisa is being Mechadish in the Sefer, that nevertheless the finder is only allowed to take the fruits, but as far as the Kli is concerned, he has to return the Kli itself. I'm going to split between the Kli and the Peros. Now again, he doesn't have a semen on the Peros. And what's the chiddush here that the motzi could keep the peros? It's a davar shein bo simon. And to boot, the bailim are claiming the kli and not the peros. And maybe the chiddush is that perhaps the motzi, in his mind, thought that these peros would have to be returned to the Baal Simon HaKli, and therefore when he picked it up, he didn't pick it up on his own behalf. The Havmina would be that even though later on he finds out that the fruits really don't belong to the Baal HaKli, but he hasn't established his kinyan on these peros, and therefore somebody else could come along and grab them before he gets a chance to establish his kinyan. In any event, we have this stira between Braisa number 2 and Braisa number 1, whether we learn it like Rashi, that the stira is from the ratio, or the way Tosis learns the stira is from the Sefer. Omraz vid lo kasha. We can differentiate between the two brisos. Ha, the first brisa is bekuba vikisna. And we're talking about things that usually part of it will stay within and part of it will fall out. And ha, the second brisa is talking about tsana uperei. We're talking about a basket and fruits, and it's quite common that everything within this basket, within the sal, would fall out, all the fruits would fall out. So let's just try to work out Rav Zvid's reconciliation here between the two brisos. According to Rashi's pshat, the second brisa postulated a relationship between the fruits and the kli. That's against the first brisa. And the answer is, it all depends. Do we expect all the fruits to go out or some of the fruits to stay in? And the answer is that it depends on the nature of the contents of the utensil. If we're talking about kuba vikisna, and these are objects like flax, which normally we would expect that when the utensil fell, not everything inside of it would fall out. And that explains the second brisa, which says that Motzah Dovah Shein Bo Siman B'Tzad Dovah Shein Bo Siman Chayv L'Achris HaLakol, because we do anticipate that some of this flax would remain inside and some would fall out. And therefore it's very possible. Wait, just hold on. According to Rashi's pshat, the stira here between the resha of Brisa 2 and the original Brisa is when all the entire contents of the purse or of the basket was found outside the purse and the basket. And that, according to Rav Zvid, makes sense in the case of kuba vikisna, meaning a barrel of flax, because in the barrel of flax, the reason why in the first brisa we assume that harel shel motzo is because the very fact that everything piled out and there's nothing left in the content would indicate that these fruits did not belong to this basket, and these coins did not belong to this purse, because it's a case, or similar to the barrel of flax. Why didn't we find anything left in the utensil? Apparently, flax is not related to or didn't originate from and fall out from the barrel, and therefore the flax belongs to the motzi. Whereas Rav Zvid says, Habitzana uperi, that we're talking about in the second brace, the case of a basket with fruits. And here, even though all the fruits fell out of the basket, we have to suspect, we have to raise the possibility that these fruits came from the basket, because it's quite common that when you turn over this basket of fruits, all the fruits would fall onto the ground. According to Tosis, the kasha of the Gemara was from the Sefer, the first Braisa, which says that if the part of the fruits are inside of the kli, left in, and part are out, nevertheless, the Bailam could claim ownership even on the fruits outside the kli. In that very same case, in that very same scenario, according to the second Braisa, he cannot claim the fruits that are outside the kli. The first Braisa, says Rav Zvid, is talking about a case of Kuba v'Kisna, where we can certainly assume that not all the flax would have fallen out when the barrel flipped over. And therefore, the first Braisa postulates that the Bailam has a claim even on the flax that's outside the barrel, the fruits and the coins outside. But the second Braisa is talking about a case of Tzana Uperi. And in such a case, since we're talking about a basket with fruits in it, and it's very logical that all the coins and the fruits might fall out. So common, and we anticipate that all the fruits would have slid out completely from the basket, and therefore he has no claim to the fruits that are outside the basket. Now, you might claim, well, why does he have? You might ask, well, why does he have a claim, even according to the Braisa, to the fruits that are inside the basket? And we can't be machish the metzius that some of the fruits remained in the basket. We don't have a claim. We cannot solidify and validate the claim of the Bailam on those fruits that fell out of the basket, but he does have a valid claim on the fruits inside the basket. Of course, you still have the Pnei Yeshua's kasha, that the owner of the basket should have an ability to identify the peros through minyan. Since the minyan that he's offering includes also the fruits that are outside the kli, why can't that be a simon for the fruits outside the kli as well? And of course, this gets into the question of how would the Bailam really know, in a case of derech nefila, how's he aware of the minyan itself? But that's the discussion in the Pnei Yeshua. He writes, Yesh loma shirakish and naflu bekama makomos lo nechshav minyan simon aval kan shakol nafal yachad. All the fruits fell together from a kli, or all the mos fell from a person, they spread around together, then he could know the minyan of mos. That's what the Pnei Yeshua insists on. And he answers that here minyan is not a simon. And the reason for that is, he writes, Hatana somach kis umos lekli uperos. Peros enom dover shebeminyam, mishum shederach kol eni odea. And beosofim eduber bemos, she eni odea kamamos hoyu bekis. So Ayin Pnei Yoshu, he's claiming that we have to interpret this Braisa, the second Braisa, is talking about a case where he doesn't know, he's not aware of how many peros fell, and how many mos fell, because if you don't accept that interpretation of the Braisa, but rather he does know, the minyan should be a simon even for the fruits that are outside the basket, or the mos outside the purse. And then we have Rav Papa's answer, Papa Amar Hava Bitsana Uperi. Both Braisas are talking about a basket full of fruit, and some of the fruit fell out in front of it. Velokasha Hadishtair Bamidi Vahadaloishtair Bamidi. Which means that in the case of the Mishnah and the Braisa, everything came out of this basket, nothing was left inside. And since it's rugil that in a Stam Kli we can anticipate that there is something called Shulayim, and therefore something should have remained inside. Shulayim means that there's some lip on the outside of the utensil that would at least prevent some of the fruits from spilling out in a case of a fall. And although some of the fruits might slide out and jump over this shulayim, but other fruits would remain inside. Here, nothing remained inside. That proves that these fruits did not come from this kli, and therefore they belong to the finder rather than the bialim of the kli. Whereas in the second brisa, what we're saying is that that's a case of Ishtayer Bamidi, whereas some of the fruits are left inside the kli, some are outside the kli. Therefore, we assume that all these fruits came from the kli; they originated from the basket. Some of them were trapped by this lip, by the shulayim, and others were not. The Ibai Sema, another answer is Hava Ha Delo Ishtayer Bamidi, which again would indicate that if there are still fruits inside, the fruits on the outside also belong to this basket. Velokasha, why does the second brisa insist that there is a relationship between the peri and the kli? Demahader ape legabe peri. In other words, the opening, the mouth of the utensil is faced towards the fruits, and therefore we have a logical reason to postulate that the fruits may have come from the kli. But ha, in the first brisa, in the Mishnah itself, as mitaikt lo mahader ape legabi peri, the opening of the kli is not facing the peros, but rather the peros on the backside of the kli, and therefore it would seem that these fruits did not come from the kli. All this assumes Rashi's pshat that the kusha, the contradiction that the Gemara postulated between brisa 1 and brisa 2 is on the resha of brisa 1, which means that the fruits outside the kli belong to the finder, whereas in the second brisa it says that he's chayv lahachris even on the fruits outside the kli. And the difference is as to whether or not the kli is facing the fruits, or on the contrary, the fruits are on the other side of the kli, they're not in front of the opening of the kli. And finally, vibois ema hava hadimahader ape legabi peri, in both the first brisa and the second brisa, the opening of the kli faces the peros, and it really looks like the peros came out. For lokasha, de islay ognin litzano, ha de islay ognin litzano veha de leslay ognin litzano. Now it all depends on what this basket looks like. Does it have this lip, you know, that would prevent the contents of, or some of the contents of the basket from going out? It's ma'akiv, it's like a blockage. Or is there is nothing in this basket of anything similar to a ognin of this lip that would prevent the fruits from coming out? So in the second brisa, we were talking about with this lesle ognin, and therefore we assume that there's a relationship, these chayv lachris, even on the pears that are on the ground outside the kli. Why? The fact that second brisa, the fact that all the peris are found outside the kli doesn't bother us, because lesle ognin litzana, there is no rim and lip around the kli, everything spilled out, that's fine. But in the first brisa, where there is a lip around the sal, and we're asking why is it that the sal now, the basket is totally empty, that seems to demonstrate that the fruits are not coming, did not originate in this basket. Mishnah says, Motza tziburei peros v'tziburei bos, these have to be returned. And the Gemara now analyzes whether we can prove from this that minyan is considered a valid simon. Shamat minah, we can learn from our Mishnah that obligates one to announce a group of fruits or a conglomeration of coins, minyan havi simon. Because what is the point of this hachraza if not minyan? That's the only possible simon that we have. I can tell you how many fruits you found, I can tell you how many mos you found. That's called tziburin. And again, tziburin is based on the fact that it was derech hinuach, and therefore he can tell you exactly how many he placed down there. Tni, we have a possibility of rejecting this proof because perhaps the Mishnah should be read as Tzibur Peros, which means in the singular rather than in the plural of Tzibure. We're not talking about many gatherings of fruits, but one gathering of fruit. And what this means is that Minyan is not a Simon, and the alternative is that Makom is the Simon, that the person who's claiming the fruits is claiming that it was found in such a location, and that is again, since he placed it down deliberately, that is his Simon. So the Gemara says, Shamet Minei Makom Avi Simon. Okay, at least let's derive the conclusion, it's proof from here, that Makom is a Simon. Now that the Gemara says, Tnei Tzibure Peros. So on the contrary, you could say that we're learning that the Girsa is Tzibure Peros, and therefore it's in the plural, and the Simon is that he can tell you how many Tziburim you found, and there's no proof from here that you can assume that Makom Havi Simon. Now, the Shita Mekubetzes raises the obvious question here. Okay, if there's only one group or one heap or pile of fruits, then there's no possibility of Minyan Simon, and that's called Tzibur. But nevertheless, even within one pile, he could tell you how many fruits were in that pile. Why wouldn't that constitute a Simon? And according to the Shita Mekubetzes, the Mishnah is referring to a tzibur of grains, of tvua, of chitim, and that's not something that you could possibly count, and therefore minyan would not be a simon if the correct Yersinah Mishnah is tzibur. Now, Beli Neder, I want to talk to you about another possibility, that is that Tzibur Echad might be what we call Derech Nefila, whereas Tzibur, if there's more than one pile, that would be Derech Hanocha. And in the case of Tzibur, of one Tzibur, Minyan isn't a Sima, because the Bailin would assume that perhaps the fruits were spread out, they fell in different places, and he won't be able to give you the exact Minyan. And what that means is, says the Pnei Yeshua, that even if now he would come forward and give you the exact number, we would still assume that he was Misyayish. That's if it says Tzibur. But if it says Tziburi, and we're assuming it was Derech Hanocha, then for sure he's not Misyayish. He could tell you how many different Tziburim he laid down, and he placed down in that place. So again, Tzibur Echad could be Makom is a Simon, and that would apply even if it's Derech Nefila. If it's more than one Tzibur, then we assume it's Derech Hanocha. He can tell you, Beminyan, how many different Tziburim there are. But either way, since we have two possible Girsos in the Mishnah, we don't have conclusive proof neither to Minyan nor to Makom. And these two Simonim, because they're not so distinctive, they remain up in the air, and it's not clear whether we can validate them or not. So, Rabos, I know that we have only begun our study of Daf Chaf Hei Amud Aleph, but nevertheless, we're going to take a break here, and Emir Tzashem will try to finish up the at least the Amud, maybe even the entire Daf, a little bit later on.